that I've had, I can make another one.
Fine. Okay. Now, the Yerushalmi says in Maseches Yuma, Kol dor shelo nivna beis hamikdash biyamav hil nechrova biyamav. Any generation that did not witness the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if it was destroyed again in that generation. Now that's quite harsh. You know, you would think, all right, that we were born into this. Yes, we didn't do this. You know, we were 2,000 years ago and born into an impossible situation. So how could Chazal say a thing like that? Right. So the Rosh Yeshiva, Yaakov Weinberg, Zichron Levracha, used to say like this, you know, a very simple law of nature is that things bounce back to their natural balance. That's why for every action there's a reaction, you know, push back and put things where they were meant to be. Right. There's nothing more natural than having a Beis HaMikdash on earth. Right? Who says he desires to have a dwelling place on earth. The whole world is for Klai Yisrael and the Torah, which the Hashras HaShechina is a direct result of that, which is the reason why as soon as Am Yisrael got the Torah, Kosh commanded on Melechus HaMishkan. It's a direct result, because once there's an Am Yisrael, and Am Yisrael has a Torah, so it's... that causes that there has to be Hashras HaShechin on earth because there's a Torah on earth. And so it means that to have a Beis HaMikdash on earth is as natural as any other law of nature. Right? And if the Beis HaMikdash is not back, it's because we must be exerting tremendous amount of force to bar its return because nature should just heal. So, we need to understand, so we should try to not have to be here again next year. Right? To understand a little bit of what we're doing wrong. The everyone knows the famous stories of, in the Gemara and Gittin on the... the series of events that lead up to Churban HaBayis. There's a very interesting and sad common denominator between them. So it starts off with Kamtza Bar Kamtza. So now Bar Kamtza, he's out for blood because he was publicly humiliated. So he he goes to the Caesar and says, Mordu b'chai Yehudai, the Jews have they've rebelled. Right, so he says, how do I know? Maybe you're just making up. Send the carbon, see if they sacrifice it. And so he put a blemish, some say in the lip, some say in the eyelid. You know, something which no guy would consider a blemish, but what can we do? It's pasul mizbeach. So Am Yisrael is now faced with the dilemma. What do we do? Do we sacrifice the carbon? No, or do we, or we don't, and we kill Bar Kamtza. Right, so there was one of the Tanoim there that said, look, we can't sacrifice the carbon because people might learn out of it a bad halacha that a Baal Mum is carved the Gabi Mizbeach. We can't kill Bar Kamtza. Right, because people might learn from that to put a Mum in Kachim is a capital offense. Can't do anything. All right. So the Gemara says, "An v'tenusas from Schar ben Akulis echrivas beisenu sarfas echaleinu v'gusinu ben haumos." His humility, right, is what caused the Churban HaBayis. Now, I'm relying on the Gemara. I'm not big enough to judge. It says, it was a mistake. Right.
Which part was a mistake?
They should have killed Bar Kamtza. He was a miser. It's a halacha mefureshes. Right? He was too humble. Now, of course, too humble, what that means is, this particular Tana. Now, of course, what it means too humble, the Maharal explains, is that his mind was taken over by the Hashgacha, because the Gzer was already Nigzar. That's what it means. He was very humble, yet now he was totally Mavatal himself, and therefore became an instrument, because the Gzer was Nigzar already. We're going to discuss that a little bit more in depth, because it comes up again, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai escapes. They threw a whole roost. They got him out of the city walls. And he speaks to Aspasianus, Aspasian. And he said, why don't you come until now? And I said, well, look, there's nothing I can do. The Biryonim, wouldn't let me out. So he told them, okay. So it's like if you have a snake around a barrel of honey, right? So you can't get to the honey, and the honey can't get out. You break the barrel. Rabbi Yochanan didn't know what to answer. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara applied the pasuk, "Meshev chachamim achor, v'da'atam yisochel." Right? He reverses the chachamim and he removes their knowledge, because it was a simple answer. Right? What do you mean? You take a pair of tongs. You take off the snake. Why do you have to break the barrel? You have to be machir v'Yerushalayim, because the biryon and the snakes don't let people in and out. Gemara says so. Then there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether when he gave him three wishes, should he have asked for Yerushalayim? That's what it says, indeed. Didn't occur to him to ask for Yerushalayim. It applies the same pasuk. There's another mandor's melamed zchus. No, he thought that if he would ask for it, he just wouldn't get it, so he'd come out with nothing. So he asked for the three things that he got, to save the family from Gamliel, to heal Rabbi Tzadok. Then we have another story right after that. The story of Marta Bapaisos. Right? So she's hungry. She's very rich lady, hungry, sends her servant, you get me to find flour stuff. None left. All right, get me the plane. Comes back. None left. All right, get me the stuff, the whole wheat garbage, that stuff. Same story. All right. Get me the barley stuff. Good. And she died of starvation. Right? So you wonder, what were they thinking? Right, what was she thinking? What was the guy then thinking? He grabbed whatever there is. It's like three stories back to back, Tell you about this phenomenon that, people's minds weren't working. See? But the truth is, you don't have to, look so far back in history. Just 70 some odd years ago. The writing was on the wall that madman is going to take, he's going to annihilate the Jewish people. Chafetz Chaim screamed about it. Mind wasn't working. Right? Asked my father, why did the Jews escape from Germany? They didn't believe it would happen. Not only that, he thought all the Jews that Hitler was talking about were the Ostjuden. Jews from the East, that the Yakas looked down on them also. No. Didn't think what happened. Right? So why did you escape? So he told me. Well, he was just 3 years old. His parents sent him on an errand. And a Hitler youth with a German shepherd, sick this dog, and he was eaten half alive. Survived B'nais. And that's when the penny dropped. We got to get out of Germany. But that's what it took. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it's a strange phenomenon. They heard from people that... first of all, that Sefer that I read. I can't remember the name of the Sefer. So in the introduction, the author tells a little bit of his history. He was a yeshiva bacher that escaped from Poland to Hungary. As you know, the Nazis came to Hungary at the very end of the war. They thought that they were immune. They would, you know, for whatever reason. So he says, he writes over there that he came to Hungary, and he was in the mikveh, on Erev Shabbos. Whatever the conversation was over there, and he says, listen, you guys are, I was living in a dream world. I just came from Poland. They're killing people like animals. So they slapped him across the face. Shut up.
That's what they did to you, Miel.
Yes?
My father's cousins did that also. They wouldn't believe.
Dean is like this. The Gemara says, in the Sanhedrin, two things. Call me She'ein bo das l'sof golem imkoma. Person who does not have das in the end will be exiled from his. He's going to lose his position. But it says on the other side, on the flip side, call me she'esh bo das ki'ilu nivne beis hamikdash b'yomav. Person who, has das. For him, it's as if a beis hamikdash is standing. It's quite amazing. Obviously, we need to understand a little more what Das is. it has such a... The lack thereof causes you to go into Golos. Having it is as if there's a Beis HaMikdash standing. Yeah. We say cheres shota v'katan, right? They're pasur from mitzvahs because they don't have das. Look, cheres, I understand in their days they could not educate the deaf, right? Right, shota is crazy. Got it? Right, katan. What? Jewish kid, bright kids. Vilna Gaon at the age of 6, no one could teach him anything anymore. Yeah, in his own town. So it's called Avnar Das? How could it be? Obviously, Bar Das doesn't have anything to do with IQ. Truth is, when Chazal talk about the simonim of a shaita, they're not talking about lack of intelligence. They're talking about insanity. He sleeps in a graveyard. He goes out alone at night. Types of things. Simon of a Shaita is not a person who's stupid. It's a person who's crazy. Yeah.
So it's about being able to discern.
Yes. Because the idea is like this. Heard from my Rebbe, Rav Nachum Lansky, who heard the name of Rav Huttner. Moshe, what it means to be, to be someone who's a lav bar das. You imagine that, chas v'shalom, there's some type of tragedy. That a younger man dies and leaves a young, almana and yesenim. Right, so, you can understand, the depressed atmosphere that there is in the shiva house. So a guy walks in, with a, Hawaiian shirt, Bermuda shorts, Ray-Bans, why is everyone here so glum? Let's turn on the lights. What's mitzvah gedol yos besimcha, right? Right? God, if he killed him, it's got to be good for him, because God's merciful. Right? He's in a better place, And even if he's in hell, that's good for him also. I knew the guy. He wasn't much good. Hell is good for him. That's a person who has no das. What does that mean? Some of the things he actually said may actually be true, may actually make sense. It's not the time, it's not the place. He's detached from reality. That's what we call in this day, reality challenged. detached from reality. Katanim, you know, kids can be very, very bright. But you know, that they'd also sell their mother for 5 cents. You know, it's not, you know, yeah. There's like a sense of, you know, the balance, you know, of how, what things to take seriously, you know, what things not to take seriously. You're called being, you know, connected to reality, something that only age could bring. The Shoita is not stupid. The Shoita is crazy. Chazal write about, you know, it's not a problem anymore because the Shoitim are not Talmidei Chachamim, right? But we'll talk about it a little bit later. But the Chazal, it's a Medrash, says, Talmud Chacham she'ein bo das nevela toiva himena. Right? A Talmud Chacham that has no das, a carcass is better than him. Now, think about what was being said over here. He's a Talmud Chacham by Chazal standards, an ein bo das.
So that sensitivity?
It's called being in touch with reality. And that's why Nevela Tova Imeno, some Farshim say, you know, because at least the Nevela, Lakelv Tashlichu Noso. It's good for dog food. He's not good for that either. Right? Yeah, that's what the Farshim say. Yeah. Right? Kid, you know, it's a brilliant guy. It's just, but listen, the man's got no. It means his, if he's out of touch with reality, it means his moral compass is off also. Yeah, you can't trust him, you know, for all his brilliance. So. Yeah, it's not, the Shaita is not stupid. He's insane. And insanity means, you know, or lack of das means being out of touch with reality. You know, the Maral, the Sefer Yosher attributed to Rabbeinu Tam, and others have said that, you know, as the Pasuk says, Ki Odom Eitz HaSodeh. You know, man is like a tree. Except that difference is that we're upside down. These are our roots. Our head, our das, are our roots. That's what keeps us rooted in reality. But truth is, you know, paralleling the cosmos, like we learned in Nefesh HaChaim, that's how the olamas are set up also, like an upside down tree. You know, the higher olamas are like the roots, and, you know, the lower olamas, you know, branch out from there. And man is the same way. Our roots are our das. What do you, you know, like the term das, you know, means like also to know in the biblical sense, means to be connected. It's not intelligence per se. You know, intelligence is just a piece of it, one of the components. But it's about, you know, what is your perception of reality? What are you real with? Right? One could say it has to do with the conscience. Where are you? Where is your mind? Where is your heart? Where is it? And that's why, Komi Shein Bo Das L'Sof Gola M'Mkomo. He loses his position if you are reality challenged. Of course, you're not going to hold on, keep a grip. You know, you lose your grip on reality, so of course you will. You're not going to keep your position. But it goes a little bit deeper to, you know, understand what a Beis HaMikdash is. But there's an interesting Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim. And really, the Chassidish Sfarim took it from him. Lamaase. You know, like the Baal Shem Tov used to say, saying about, where is a man? He's where his thoughts are. That's where he is. The Rambam already writes that to the extent that a person thinks about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mida Keneged Mida, a Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks about him. And the more you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu on your mind, the more you're on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mind. He says that there's a real special Hashgacha Pratis on that person. You know, so long as he thinks about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And to the extent that, you know, he never forgets about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And of course, whoever forgets means he's always real with him. So it means he's always connected. Right, to that extent, also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never abandon him. But it goes the other way, you know, says the Rambam. You forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midah k'neged midah forgets about you, and you could, he writes, you could just die like a dog, be hit by a bus. You just don't deserve to be protected. If you could forget about the Ribon Shalom like an animal, you get treated the same way. The Beis HaMikdash on earth was a was ongoing dveikus between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael.
I have a little bit of a problem with what you just said. In looking at our life and life in general, there have been some very hushabit good people who have been taken in an instant like that.
Yes.
I'm thinking of someone who was killed in 9/11, Shimon Peres. There are people who you can't, how can you say, you know, somebody who's devoted their life to Torah can still be taken like that, like a dog being shot, or, I mean, so.
I said that's, well, first.
So where does that fit into what you just said?
Two things. First of all, the sin of ignoring God is a sin that carries consequences. You know, if a person is
Messiah. But these are people who didn't ignore God.
Okay, that's not the only reason why a person dies.
Well, right? I didn't
it's not the only reason. It's not the only reason why a person dies. You know, it's schar v'onesh, there's xeris, kapor on him, kapor on the tzibur. It's not the only reason. But the amazing thing is that a person could, you know, be vulnerable to the elements if he's not walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you're expected to all the time. That's the chiddush over here. But there's so many reasons for a person to nebuch be taken. It's not the only reason. But it's an amazing thing that you forget about the Ribon Shel Olam. You should never forget about the Ribon Shel Olam.
I'm a person. I'm 40 years old. Who was busy with Klal.
Yeah, but he's. We're still learning from Rabbi Kirzner 40 years later.
Look, the Ribon Shel Olam, there's like more than one reason to die. It's not. I'm just saying. You have to understand what's being said over there. You know, that the you ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, he ignores you also. Midah k'neged midah. But that's, like we said, it's not the reason, it's not the only reason people die. There's many other things that require kapara, many other things. It's just an example to understand that a person has to be rooted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly. Severing that connection alone makes a person vulnerable. But there are other reasons that can make a person vulnerable. When there was a Beis HaMikdash on earth, right? This idea of Dveikus, wasn't a theory. What do you mean? You could say, HaShechina Shoreh B'Yisrael. Shechina dwells in Klal Yisrael. And everyone could come three times a year. Liros es pnei Adon Hashem Elokei Yisrael. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This wasn't an idea. This wasn't a feeling. This was reality. Chassidim say that the Kedushas Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, he left his wife for a few years to go learn by the Mezritcher. He came back after a few years, and so his father said, you know, you left your wife and kids on me to take care of. Let's hear one thing you learned in Mezrich. Let's hear. He says, I learned that there's a Ribon Shel Olam. What? 3 years I had to feed your wife and children. You should hear that there's a Ribon Shel Olam. Yeah. Everyone knows that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, it's calling the Shiksa. Yeah, Maria. Do you know that there's a God? Says, yeah, of course, sir. So he said like this, she's just saying it. I know it. Right? Totally real. And that's called to have to be a Yodea. You know that there's a Ribono Shel Olam. Be a Yodea. Kol mi sheyesh bo das, kilo nivne beis hamikdash biyamav. Right, because that person is really clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now he's just one person, so that's why he can't change the whole world, and there should be a Beis HaMikdash for the Klal, because he's just one person. Not a critical mass yet. But for him, Kiyo Nivda Beis HaMikdash B'yamav. He's real. He's real with it. So, you know, the Beis HaMikdash is like the, you know, as we call it, the cosmic das, right? Right, the connection, like Adam Yada Schava Ishto, it's that cosmic connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every individual has it, you know, Mikoach Das, and when there's a critical amount of people that have that, so then, you know, it changes the world. And the whole world knows that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Knows, like knows means, you know, real with it. Real with it. Connected. They say seeing is believing. That's not true. Seeing is knowing. It's real. It's as real as anything. So now you can understand it goes the other way. That when there's a Siluk HaShechina, the Das gets affected. Das is the meat of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And when, sadly, a certain critical amount of Jews stop being real with it, so mida k'neged mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's misal k'shechina. But what happens is, as a result, is that the whole mida of Das exists for this purpose. The Midah of Das exists for the purpose of giving us Tveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why this capacity exists. You know, Das is our perception of reality. And of course, with perception of reality, there's a lot of things that go into that. You know, including your moral compass. You know, because, you know, how do you view reality? What do you view as important? That's what makes man more than an animal. We say we're a bar das. It's not because animals are stupid. Yeah. Animals are not stupid. Right? They don't have a moral compass. They don't know the Ribono Shel Olam the way we do. It's not the difference between us and them is not IQ. That's not what makes us better than them. What makes us better than them is our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have the Midah of Das for that purpose. So when, you know, when Am Yisrael is, God forbid, you know, Kfar Nigzor Gzera, so the Midah of Das has not been used for what it's supposed to be used for its real intended purpose. So there's a Siluk HaDas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes the Das. And even our leaders, even if they've done no sin of their own, but because there's a gzera on the klal, they're also affected. Right? There's a Siluk HaDas. And that's when you know that it's time to worry. Well, that means kvar nigzera gzera. Gzera is already said. That's what the Ber Mayim Chaim has a sefer called the Shara Tefillah. And he said, he quotes the Pasuk Shara. You know, Hashmin, Hashmin Lev Amazeh, Vaznav Hachbed, Ve'enav Hasha. These people, their ears are closed, right? Their eyes are closed, right? Their hearts are stuffed up, right? So he says, it's not just the Navi complaining. It's not just the Navi complaining about the state of Am Yisrael. With those words, the Gzera was issued that the eyes will be closed, right? The ears will be closed. That's what Rashi means, right, in the Parshas Vayechi. Lama Parshas and Stuma. The fish nistmu enem v'libam shel Yisrael mitzar sashiru titzchil l'shabdam. The Parshas Sosum, there's no break between Vayigash and Vayechi, because the hearts and eyes of Am Yisrael got closed because of the Shibud.
Yeah, but when you said the Navi said that, so did he, was he Mekatrig against Bnei Yisrael?
No, he was issuing the Gzera.
The Navi issued the Gzera?
I mean, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Now, of course, you have to ask a question on that Rashi. Right? He says, this is my name, V'libam Shel Yisrael. It's not true. No, it's, right, because the Pasuk says in Shmos, V'yomas Yosef v'chol echav v'chol adorahu, right, until the Shvatim died. Right, the Shibud didn't start. Then after Ve'akam Melchar Shel Yisrael, and Parshas like he's talking about Yaakov Avinu dying. The answer is like this. You know, it starts from the eyes and heart being closed. That's where it starts from. You know, the physical oppression that kicked in later, you know, as a matter of time. But it starts with the mind and heart being closed. That's where it starts from. And that started from the time Yaakov Avinu died. Nistimu enem v'libam shel Yisrael. Right. That's where it all starts from. Right. You know, it starts, you know, originally from our closing our eyes and our ears to what we know is true. Right. Ignoring what we don't want to hear. Right. But then after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, you want that way, I'll give it to you. You want to close your eyes, you want to close your ears to what the Nevi'im are telling you and are warning you about? No problem. You get what you wish for. You get what you want. You get eyes closed. You get your ears closed.
So is it impossible to do tshuva then, or just
hard? It's just very hard. So that's what the Beramayim Chaim over there goes on to say. That there's an interesting, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always a rachamon. You know, there's always rachamim in it, because there's something interesting to, you know, think about, you know, about the Jewish people. We've been through something, been through stuff. No other nation, you know, they're complaining that they were 100, less than 20 years ago, they were slaves, and still complaining about it, you know, Am Yisrael's been through, you know, much worse and even much more recent, and somehow, we just pick up the pieces and nothing. So says the Beramayim Chaim, you know, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he put us asleep, we became really thick-skinned. And there was a certain divine grace in that also. That's how we're making it through. We should be seriously traumatized, you know. And then we, because that's part of, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even his Xeris have a certain rachamim hidden within them. And this is how we make it through. We are heavily sedated. That's what he writes. But he says like this, but that's what Rachel and Menu. That's what scared her the most. He proves it, however he proves it, you know, that what scared Rachel and Menu most was, you know, said, you know, it's like he gives a marshal, you know, a kid is going into surgery, right? And the mother's worried. So they're worried that he won't feel a thing. He won't feel a thing. So that's what I'm worried about. He may never wake up. That's what we're worried about. What's going to wake them up? You put them to sleep so they could go through the pain, right? Not be traumatized. What's going to wake them up? So he writes, Yesh Socher Fulasech, you know. So he has a Yesh Socher, as Gematria Tefila. That if a person really wants to, when he davens, HaKadosh will give him Siyat Yishmai to wake up. Really be there. Really. have his whole, you know, what is, you know, the mind that's generally slumbering to be totally engaged. That's what he writes. Yeah, but that's the problem. And that's in, you know, the apathy, you know, is once the Gzeres Nigzar, you know, it's even our leaders. Like the Pasuk says, Nevi'ah lo matzu chazon. Right? The Nevi'im don't get Nevu anymore. You know, but of course it's our fault because we chose that way. If you want to ignore the truth, right, you want to turn your eyes and ears away from what you're being taught, right? So of course says, fine. It's, you want that, you'll get that. I'm going to close your eyes, I'm going to close your ears. And it'll go, you can't have it halfway. You can't have it halfway. You want it, you got to go with it all the way. So you'll see the writing on the wall. The Jews are about to be exterminated. Yeah, you're not, it's not going to respond. You're going to turn the eyes. You can't have it the way you want it. You want to live life that way, that you would block out the truth? Fine. Have it your way. So you have danger right in front of your face, and you won't run. It's what you want, it's what you get.
I have a question. Isn't it almost like not a favor, the Erech HaPayim, that we don't get little petch along the way, and instead of the biggie that comes when we've accumulated so many averus?
There's a trade-off, but there's no other way. If we get it immediately, we wouldn't be able to get up again.
We got little stuff we didn't get up?
No, if we get it all in one shot, we can't get up again. It has to be spread up.
Ever since Mechiras Yosef, we've been getting it.
So here's the thing. You know, particularly in our days, Chazal say, you know, Cain killed Hevel. You know, because he thought he would inherit the whole world. You know, and also, relatively speaking, Hevel relative to Cain would be sort of was, you know, even though it was before Matan Torah, was sort of the difference between Jew and non-Jew. Hevel, as it were, one quasi-Jewish. Yeah, he got rid of Hevel. He thought he would inherit the world. Comes Esav and says, Shaita Cain. Because, well, you know, he killed Hevel. He didn't realize Adam Rishon is, you know, got back there with Chava and he had Chase. I'm not going to make the same mistake. Yikavu Yemei Evel Avi, Vagras Akavachi. Meaning he was planning to kill, he was going to assassinate Yitzchak. You know, so he can have more kids. So Yikavu Yemei Evel Avi. Cain Paro and said, Shoitaya Esav. Right? You know what he's doing, right? Because while he's waiting to assassinate Yitzchak, Yaakov goes off and, you know, to base love and has the 12 tribes. I'm not going to make the same mistake. Call a Ben Eiro Tashlichu. Bechol Vastachayim. The throat. Kill them all. The males. Right? Came home and said, Shoita Yapar. More. Right? It goes, you take care of the women. You have to take care of the women also, because they were Mishadol, the men, to and have more kids. You know, so. No, that's not the way to do it. So Haman says, so it's a Narvazokin Taf Venoshim, Yom Echad. That's the way to do it. You got to kill them all. Leave no survivors. So comes Gog, Lossi Lovo. But it's not Lossi Lovo anymore. It's now. But as the verse said, Lossi Lovo will come Gog and say, Shreita Yahaman. Yeshem Patron God of Hashemai. They have a great patron in heaven. You have to take down God first. Right, that's what Paul says. Nosdu al Hashem val Mashiach. Tell him. First it's a war against God, then we take care of the anointed ones. We get rid of the Klai, so after we get rid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So that's the Shlach HaKadosh. How do you take down God? What do you do? You fill the world with apikorsis. And you make God irrelevant. Right? That's how you kill God. Not quite bad, you know. Yeah. An irrelevant God is a dead God. It's not relevant anymore. You break people's tefachos. Totally. Alright, we're there. the war started. Right? Right. Leviticus is one of the dirty words, the God of the Old Testament. It's horrible what's going on. It's horrible. And with, you know, with total impunity, people speak against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, speak against the Bible. Right? Ten Commandments, you know, can't be displayed publicly. The war started. Yeah. You know, and it's only a matter of time, you know. And of course, you know, but Kfar Nigzor Gzeira, so people should be freaking out. People should really be freaking out. That you know that these liberals are willing to spill blood. You know, any conservative speaker comes to Berkeley, he has to run for his life. It's not. With impunity. Talk about blowing up the White House, and it's okay. No one gets charged for treason. You know, there's no more country. Once probably it was called treason. High treason. That's fine. It goes on. Because, you know, the liberal agenda. You know, people ask me, you know, what's with these liberals? You know, they... You know, it's the Fagelach, you know, and the minorities, you know, dark beard, and the Muslims. Muslims, right? These are people who are, you know, most anti this and most anti everything that their agenda stands for. Right? What's wrong? You know, answer is, the Yetzirah has no principles. You think he's a man of principle? Like he says, like, I saw you daven good yesterday, so I'm not letting you watch this Shmutzika movie, because you're not a sincere Russia. You think he talks that way? The man's got no principles. You know, he'll take what he can get. Right? And he has no problem playing this side of the coin and that side of the coin. Whatever is there to tear down all that's good and decent and tear down Klal Yisrael, yeah. What are they thinking? They're not thinking. Not thinking. Because people who think are Dovik and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Das. So they're not thinking. They're not thinking. They're going with the Yetzer. And the Yetzer has no principles. He gets you from any angle. He doesn't care. It's not like this angle, he uses this angle, and principle he won't. He uses any angle. Well, he has no principles. He doesn't care. You know, people ask, why do kids go off the Derech? It's the poverty. No, it's the affluence. No, it's this. No, it's that. Morons. It's the Yetzer. And the Yetzer is everywhere. The Yetzer is everywhere. You find them in the affluence, you have them in the poverty. Mesil Sharm Wright said, you know, this world is a battlefield. You know, and the battle's in front and back, right, left. The Yetzer is everywhere. Kids go off the Derech because of the Yetzer. And he is everywhere. It's not because of this, it's because of that. But when did we teach our kids about Milchemes HaYetzer? When did we teach anybody about that? Fighting your Yetzirah. Now, once upon a time, you know, just keeping halacha, you have to be prepared to starve to death. Keep kashrus. 50 years ago, there are days you go hungry. There's nothing kosher to eat. Right? So, you know, just keeping normative halacha was, really built a person's spiritual muscles. Because there was serious Milchemes HaYetzer. You know, what do we do today? Not you. You guys are good. Me. What do I do today? Right? We cut deals with the Yetzer. We negotiate with him. Fress, like pigs. Fress. Now, I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear. Fine, but you know, that's the problem. That's why we're in Gauls, because we turn our ears away from what we don't want to hear. Very second beer halacha in Mishnah Berurah. From his brings to the Sefer Achinuch. Do you know that if something is 100% glatt kosher, right? But you're not hungry, right? You're not feeling weak, you're not feeling depressed. You really don't need it. You really don't need it. And you eat it anyway, just out of pure taiva. You're over on Isser Daraisa of Lo Sasur Achil Vavchem Vachrei Nechem. You're not supposed to give in to the Yetzer. You're not supposed to give in. You're not supposed to give in, even when it's not technically a violation of the law. Because you're increasing his leverage in reality. You're giving him more territory. You're giving him more turf. So now we talk about, we want a base of Mikdash on earth. We want, which is pure sterile space. You know, or Sitra Achra is, you know, Ren, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we learned something in Nefesh HaChaim. Perek Dalet. Right? One dirty thought in the heart does more cosmic damage to what Titus did in the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now, you know, when the Fegelach are out there marching, and it's a terrible Chilul Shem Shemayim, and I don't know how long Rosh is going to tolerate this, because the Bnei Noach are mitzvah on this also. Right? This is not serious. A person should be really shaking. You know, how long is the Rosh going to tolerate this? Open rebellion against Malchus Shemayim. How long? So at least one thing Donald did for us, right? Because he lit the fuse, and now we see that the liberals are choshed on shvichas damim. So at least, you know, we could say to the rebels, the reason why we didn't go out and counter protest is because they would have killed us, and they would. Yeah. So Baruch Hashem, it's a limud zchus on Am Yisrael that, you know, we have a good reason why we weren't meicha. Because Chazal tells us, yesh b'yaru mechos hermecha nitfasal so'avon. Right, we're guilty. If we could protest it, we don't. All right, Baruch Hashem, we have a heter, because they'll kill us. They are choshed on shvichas damim. Hold this, I'll kill you with kindness. They'll make sure you're dead. All right, Baruch Hashem. Right? But what are we doing as a countermeasure? What are we doing? Right? What are we doing? So, okay, so with all the freedom of speech is, it's not really, you know, it's only for the leftist agenda, there's freedom of speech. All right, so what am I doing, so let's say in my personal Beis HaMikdash, because I'm a walking Beis HaMikdash, like we learned in Nefesh HaChaim, what am I doing? It should be that if there's such a horrible, you know, rebellion against Malchus Shemayim outside, that I should be doing something in my inner universe, my personal Beis HaMikdash, right, to clean it up a bit. Yeah. People, you know, the Ra is rampant. So if we can't actually take up arms against it, maybe we should. I don't know. The Chafetz Chaim held that when Stalin rose to power, Jews just go to the kitchen, take a knife, take a fork, go, charge. This is documented in a few places. So the other Rosh Yeshiva in Radin, Rav Moshe Lendinsky, asked him, you know, Rebbe, you know, we'll come to the border. They have these things called machine guns. They'll just mow us down. You think I'm stupid? I know that. Right? But maybe the Mesiras Nefesh will do something to weaken the Sitra Achra in the world. We do nothing. The Sitra Achra runs rampant. Huh? Okay. So another story in the same sefer says that the Baruch Ber heard the same thing, and he went to the kitchen, took a fork. He said, okay, Rebbe, I'm going. He says, Baruch Ber, it's too late. Kfar nigzur gzeira. We missed the opportunity. Huh? So out there, you know, the God of the Old Testament, right? Leviticus. Right? Dirty words. What are we doing? What are we doing to fight back for the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know, we want Galik Chod Malchus Chalim. So what are we doing? Huh? And you don't understand? All you need is one guy to open their big mouth. That wearing your tzitzis out is Huschatim is called Mitzvah Hashem, which includes those mitzvahs in Leviticus. And you need one fegel to say, when I see a Jew with a tzitzah, I'm deeply offended. Because right? It's all those 613, including those over there. That they'll come for us, though. When it sits out, will be called a microaggression, they call it. Right? You don't see that coming. A guy refuses to bake, you know, and oil also bush, also klima, that's dafka goy, and even have a reserve, stood up for a Kurdish Baruch Hu. You know, he gets a knast. He won't bake a cake for a fagel or wedding. Right. You know, where are we? You understand that, you know, the apathy is a sign that nigzor gzeira kvar. You can't seriously want a Beis HaMikdash if you are content with the world as it is. If you're not really severely agitated at the way things are run. That's what it means, Kol Misabu Yishlam Zochavur Abbasimchasa. Yeah, to be mourning is like not feeling sorry for yourself. You understand that Tzara Shechina said the world can't, you know, wasn't meant to be this way. It's you know, the world is in a state of rebellion against its creator. Yeah. Yeah. Our situation is not good. It's not just apathy, you know, it's the, it's like we said, you know, there are certain things that are just off the radar totally. And that's, you know, like we mentioned, Milchemes HaYetzer, it's off the radar. Kids don't know what it is anymore. No one is to say no. You just tell them, even though it's mutter, but say no, don't give it to your tithes, just don't give it, you know, there's a... You know. You know, it can go on. You know, you see these from events, you know, and the amount of food and mindless entertainment, you know. All glad kosher. But you're sending a message. Right? The HR could have whatever he wants under certain terms. So how do you expect people to be Omid Benisayim? They never built up those muscles. Never built up those muscles. And you could be sure that the problem with the rampant mental illness, listen to what I'm telling you, the same emotional muscles that it takes to control the Yetzer, those are the same muscles that it takes to control mental illness. That you could push impulses to the side and keep your... Everyone's got bad memories. Everyone's had trauma. It's caused natural events. The question is, where is it? Is it point center? Or it's, you know, it's to the side, back of the mind, buried, you know? When you let your impulses or your fears control you, that's when you're mentally ill. When everyone's got them. You know, but the question is, where are they? So you have to understand something. When there was a Beis HaMikdash on earth, taking up point center of reality, right? And that's what Chazal tell us, that Yerushalayim is in the center of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is the center of the globe. I mean, the world's round. You know, every place is the center. It means like this. You know, it means cosmically the center of reality. Right? So when the Shekhinah is in the center, that means the Sitrach, or even when it existed, it was on the periphery. And when a person has a proper tzelem, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in his heart, is Meshigasin, or on the periphery. And that's when, you know, the Tzelem is standing. And the Tzelem, we learned, is parallel to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, it's not a coincidence. Ever since they were teaching that man is descended from monkey, that mental illness also increased, you know. You know, the Tzelem, you know, which runs parallel to the Beis HaMikdash, like we learned, you know, when you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your heart, and you're connected, there's a Ribon Shalom. That's where you're rooted. That's where you're anchored. That's where your anchor is. So the Meshigasin are on the periphery, and they're under control. All right, no Tzelem, then your Meshigasin could take up point center of your persona. Parallel to Shualim Hilchubo. And Sitrachor sits, you know, where the Harabais is. Taking control of point center of reality. Mochemes HaYetzer. You know, you push your desires to the side, you know, that's the muscle that pushed all impulses to the side, including insecurities, including trauma. Right? Mankind doesn't know what that is anymore. They don't know. So, of course, it's mental illness. You don't know how to control your mind and can't control your thoughts. So, of course, you walk around afraid, frenzied, whatever. But there's something else, you know, and it's got to be said before it's too late. You know, we learned that when we learned Torah, so the neshama sparks. That's what causes sparks in the neshama, you know, and then it augments the intelligence, and of course has a trickle-down effect on the ruach and the nefesh, like we learned. You know, what type of learning does it? What do you think? You know, we say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Right? There's a lot of learning going on. But the Yetzer Hara is doing well. He's doing well. Because the pshat is like this. The, you know. Any thinking person has to ask the following question. Right? The Gemara is, it's a difficult book. No, before we get to it, you know, years ago, I was, one time I went to a Tzanz or Tish. Yeah, well, it was Salshus, I was in Kiryat Tzanz, Tanya. And the Rebbe said something like this. He told the story that, you know, one of the big tzaddikim of earlier generations took on sigufim. He took on self-affliction, right? Tanesim, and he wore sackcloth, you know, and whatever, all forms of self-affliction, you know, to, you know, purify himself. And of course, it takes a toll on a person's health and a person's ability to concentrate. So after 2 years, you know, when he finished the regiment, you know, so he, you know, got back to the old grind and went back to the Beis Medrash, and he says, what have I done? Right? All the 2 years of sigufim, when you're walking around, you know, minimal ability to concentrate, right? So all of it wasn't worth it. There's nothing that kills the Yetzer Hara better than Gemara and Taisus. This is a Tzanz Rebbe talking. And in Tzanz, there's no nonsense. You know, and he said right there, drop the chasidus for him. Just take Gemara and Taisus. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, Ravina and Ravashi wrote a pretty hard book. You know, it's not, you know, Gemara's not very user-friendly. It's not, it's tremendous strings of reasoning, dialectic. You know, aside from the difficult language. You know, it's a complicated book. You know, and even after you learn it, you know, it's unless you really know how to learn well and you have to cross-reference, you don't even know what the halacha is. You have to, it's, it involves a great deal of research, you know, and why, what did Ravina, Ravashi, what, you know, why couldn't they write straight, you know? So there's some fool, two brothers, in Borough Park, wherever they live, well, I'm sure they're self-proclaimed experts in Ramchal, right? So, you know, the Klipas, Sitrach was very strong, and, you know, Ravina, Ravashi were barred from writing, you know, a straightforward book, because Sitrach was just so strong. And now, you know, nowadays, you know, everything was made so simple. It's Orosh HaMashiach. Right? Now, so after I was forced to listen to that, the next day I was by my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro. And he took a swing at me. Thank God he missed. He was pretty angry. And he said, and you sat and you listened to that. And you sat and you listened to that. Right? If Ravina Ravashi didn't do what they've done, right, we Yiddishkeit would have gone obsolete years ago. They were preserving a method, and they were preserving a method on purpose, you know, to force you to build your mental muscles, right? The power, you know, to do the research and to do the calculating and to do the cross-referencing, right, which gives us the power, gave us the power, right, to, from, you know, pull precedence out of something that was written for an agrarian society and pull out precedence to paskin on modern technology. They knew what they were doing. It's a, they had to make things deliberately complicated to build our mental muscles. Right? And when you work hard, that's when the neshama kicks in. That's why there's halacha of amel spatar. Because, you know, the proficiency that kept Torah relevant for all generations, right? And the type of what the Tzanzra was talking about, there's nothing better for you than Gemara. That type of hard work, that's what causes the neshama to spark. and that's what caused it to bring light to the Ruach, and it has a purifying experience, and it's better than all the Sigufim. Now, nowadays, right, something happened, right? So, and a thinking person should ask himself, you know, why didn't Rashi do it? Why didn't Rashi do it? Obviously, it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right thing to do, right? The Gemara shouldn't be made readable like a newspaper. And the info was meant, in, you know, in the agreement that was made with the Gedolim decades ago, right? It's only for beginners. It's only for Bali Tshuva. No one else should be touching it. Okay. No one's going to go the hard way if there's an easy way. You take the path of least resistance. And that's why. 12 years of school, right? And the average yeshiva bachur cannot make a laning because he never gets off his training wheels, never gets off his crutches. And we are rapidly moving into a situation that in 10 years' time, no one will have the intellectual acumen to paskin a shaila because they don't build those mental muscles. It's been made way too easy. Aside from the spiritual quality, there's no mesiras nefesh anymore. The neshama doesn't spark. And that spark in the neshama is a certain experience of your personal hashuas hashchin, your personal beis hamikdash. It doesn't exist anymore.
How do we do that?
And
as ladies?
Yeah. Everyone, tikkun amidas. Muhammad Sayyidzer. You can't be serious about wanting a beis hamikdash on earth if you're not leading your own life in a way that parallels a beis hamikdash. Right? Hashem tzilcha yamecha. We learned this in Nefesh HaChayim. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he runs the world as a mirror. He's holding up a mirror to you. If you live like a beis hamikdash, you'll have a beis hamikdash. You don't live that way. You know, we are in dire straits. We are in serious dire straits. Right? And the whole industry is, in a certain way, you know, an accomplice to it. You know, it just has to be said that we have to, there's a great deal of inspiration, Jewish inspirational videos, and thus, and thus, and then these tours, and thus. Mm-hmm. You know. And we're living in a fool's dream because there's no substance there. There's euphoria, but there's no substance. You could be sure that when Yirmiyahu HaNavi had to compete with Hananiah ben Azor, right, for the people's trust, who did better? Hananiah ben Azor, Israel. He had a message of love. He probably did kumzitzitz by the kumzei tzadikim, right? Yirmiyahu was telling them, you know, about real work. Nothing anyone wanted to hear. But you don't understand something, that you know, there's a certain rule about how the human mind works. You know, now it's possible for a person to have total intellectual clarity, and by trickle-down effect, right, his emotions get involved also. Like the Rambam writes, you know, in Hilchos Yisrael Torah, Yisborim Masa, you want to feel Ahava, you want to feel Yira, contemplate, Godless Habari, think. And then the emotions kick in. But that's when you start with the intellect first, with critical thinking first. So there's a trickle-down effect from the Shema to Ruach to Nefesh. Right? And it could be a very emotionally satisfying experience. Be full. When there's Das, it's a full experience. It is. But you know, but that's when, you know, the das, and it has to be das, not chokhmah bina. You have to be real with it. And when you're real with it, it generates feelings also. And it could be fully emotionally satisfying. Right? But there is another rule that when you start with emotions, right, the mind goes numb. If you start with das, not chachma bina, das, being real with something, so the cognizance could drag the feelings along. If you start with the euphoria, the mind goes numb. you know, no one wants to hear critical thinking. It ruins the mood. No, it's serious. It's a serious problem. This is very serious. You know, there's Jewish entertainment. It's mind-numbing. You know, our kids are, you know, these music videos from this, this mushkos and that mushkos, you know, well, they have beards, so what? You know. And they bring goyim to break dance. And it is amazing. We have mind-numbing culture. Our own mind-numbing, and when the mind is numb, that's the Yetzirah's playing field. He likes that. When people don't think. People, and he doesn't care. We said he has no principles. Even if you're feeling frummy feelings, he's good. He's good. Yeah, because if you're not thinking, twirl you around however he wants. Main things you shouldn't think. You know. You know. A few ten thousands of people go every year, somewhere in the Ukraine. You know, we're going to learn in Nefesh Chaim, Perek, Shaar Gimel Perek Tes. You say to a tzaddik, I want to cling to you. That's Avodah Zarah Mamish. One of the leading Dveikus songs is Machnisei HaRachamim. Do you know, according to the Rambam, the Maharal, Korban Nisano, I go on. It's all, that Keta is Avodah Zarah. All right, so it's a heter to say it, right? It's one of the leading Dveikus songs, right? You're not allowed to make a address anything other than a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and people will come down totally buzzed, and Yetzar is laughing the whole way, right? You got people to be Ovid Avodah Zarah Mamish, but people are inspired. I mean, this is serious. Right? A person has to realize we are seriously asleep. Our moral compass is totally off. Right? You know, we're animals. We just go with our gut. We go with, you know, whatever is, we assume if it's inspiring, it must be good. You know, let me tell you, from Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Right? Story goes that once a guy came to Volozhiner collecting tzedakah. And the, you know, and he had an unbelievable sob story. He made such a nice impression as a decent person. He had never, very hard times, cleaned up in Volozhin. Everyone gave him money, except for Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Came to Rav Chaim Volozhiner and said, get lost, get out of my face. I said, Pella, Rav Chaim Volozhiner. You know, I said, I can't, you know. So, a little bit later, it came out, the story came out. The guy was a mashumid. Right, converts great, and he was a missionary, and whatever he didn't take for his himself went to the church. Right, so he went to Rav Chaim Volozhiner and asked him, "All right, you have Ruach HaKodesh, right?" And he said, "Nah, I have common sense. It's simple. Right, the Yetzer wasn't stopping anybody. He was doing too well. It means the Yetzer wasn't interfering. Yetzer was good with it. Meaning to say, you know, what's popular." Chances are, if it's popular and it's what really goes, chances are it's probably not good. Yetzirah has no problem barring it. That's all. He was doing too well. It couldn't have been right. What's popular just means that the Yetzirah has no problem with it. You know, we are in serious, dire straits. You know, we're not working with our minds anymore. You know, Nigzor Gzera, there's Silu Kadas. There's a featured speaker. Right, he's at every single major Jewish event. The event's not complete if that guy's not there. Right? So I remember a woman who comes to my shul asked me, so again, where's the exact source that Binyamin from the Shvatim was a werewolf? I said, excuse me? I said, what? No, yeah. I heard in the shir, you know, Binyamin was a werewolf.
A werewolf.
You know, I don't. There's no such thing. I mean, it's a terrible thing to say about the most simple Jew. I want to shift a cup. How do you mind? No, this rabbi, I said, I don't believe it. No, he said it. So, yeah, are you ill? So she gave me the link. Yeah, sure enough, a man who takes himself way too seriously. That Bajka Kocha Pratis, you know, he had to go to the bathroom between his Rabbi and his Rashto and Rabbi and Tantfo, and someone showed him in a book. It says Binyamin was a werewolf. And he banged on the table. This is Teda. So, everyone understands that one of the Shiftei Kohos is a werewolf. There's no such thing as werewolves, right? Now, because he saw it in a book written, you know, in Hebrew letters, doesn't mean it's true, right? But the amazing thing is, you know, the crowd was brain dead. No one got up and protested. No one walked out. Why? Because he said it from sound bites. So this is Teda. Didn't sound modern Orthodox. Sounded like one of Unzer. The sound bites were right. It's a pacha. This man is no das, and he's one of the top featured speakers. It's a frightening. And the audience is brain dead. Because he says it in a formal way. You know, the sound bites were right. Yeah, it's the same genius. You know, so he had his own, he's Yodea Das Elyon, right? So he had his own take on why the Sassoon children were burnt alive. Shem Yerachim, right? So, okay, so he says that he learned Zohar. You know, that in his, I started reading, you know, reading up on this person's material. I started reading, you know. And he learned Zohar Motzei Shabbos, you know, because that's when he's Tohar, and he's ready for Zohar. You know, yes, so. I mean, obviously, only in Motzei Shabbos, and not for too long of a time, obviously. Right? Because as he opened up, he says, and he saw, Tochazi, come see. The Zohar was calling to me, come see. Zohar doesn't talk that way. Right? There's not two pages that you could go by in Zohar without seeing the term Tochazi. It's the most common term in Zohar. Right? So, seriously, reality challenged. And he's always a featured speaker. You know, I'm sorry, you know, we have to know, we're in great danger. We're in great danger. You know, we're going with sound bites. We're going with things that sound from, you know. Let me ask you something, right? What about Din Torah? You know, here in America, you know, situations, from me, go to court, look, you know. Like that, you know. You know, it's an Isser Chomer. You have to go to Beis Din. You have to go to Beis Din. Vayvenu Plim, it's called a Chil Hashem. It's called that when we go to secular court, it's like we give covet to their gods. Right? Because we give them, you know, authority over us. So, and you want a Beis HaMikdash. We read yesterday, Tzion B'mishpat Tikkodeh. Right? And we don't care about Din Torah. Right, called dying. She died as well. Maaser shutav shakosu maaser breish. Chazal tell things about a dying that meets out Din Torah. Things like the basement. She's fixing the world, being mashur the shechina in the world. Right. You know, we're so worried about, you know, the puranis. Right. So let's say we could get people, you know, fired up about, you know, there'll be another Holocaust, this and that. Right. So Chazal tells us im yesh din lamata ein din yored lamala. If you do things up Din on earth, you don't have to meet a sadin, come down from heaven. Right? And people go to secular court like nothing, but they didn't are corrupt. So fix it. Get three from Jews to do an arbitration for you. You can't go to secular court. But all these guys, they'll go to these kumzitzin. These kumzitzin are worthless. But now that they are deceptive. You know, it is such a pachad, you know, that there's a great deal of euphoria, but that's animalistic, that you go with the feelings, as opposed to going with your das. The base measure, what is really correct, not what your society is willing to approve, not what makes you feel good, not what makes you feel frum. What does the Rebbe Shlomo really want? Not what makes you feel good. All right. We'll end off with one point. It's something horrific. You know, and it's time to wake up, right? This time, 12 years ago. Is that long already? Wow. Right? You know, a horrible thing happened. Nafal Davar B'Yisrael, right? The Girush of Gush Katif. horrific. No, horrific from every standpoint. Right? Jews being chased out of their homes. Giving land, unilaterally without getting anything in return. Right? And then, now they're launching missiles from the territory that was given. It was horrific, and there was no stopping the train, right? Society was gripped by an insanity. Sharon, he had the Justice Department on his tail. He had to break left quick. And whatever, he was a charismatic guy. And that's the thing. No one was thinking. Even the Mizrahi wasn't. They got into that government. They helped that government rise to begin with. Even though Sharon said about Hitnatkut, he spoke about it from day one. Yeah, they were in with him also. He won't do it. It won't really happen. It was everything we talk about. People weren't thinking. There was no stopping the train. But here's the amazing thing. Then this should be a Musar Haskel. It's frightening. And now that, people now make money from it, and sell these videos. And it's the most appalling thing when you think about it. Square's insult to human intelligence. So you had on the day of the expulsion an impossible situation, right? Of Jew versus Jew. Irreconcilable. No way to reconcile this, right? Everyone should be doing serious soul searching. Where are we headed? What's our direction? What is Tzahal about? How much can we put, faith we could put, that the secular statue will bring Mashiach? Everyone, both sides of the fence had some serious soul searching to do. It's a crisis. A serious crisis. Right? They found a way forward. They danced together. They sang, and they danced, and they sell these videos. On the floor, they did a kumzitz together, and they danced them to the buses. And I was thinking to myself, Ribono Shel Olam, what's happened to us? Could we have done this with the Nazis? Have a little kumzitz, and they'll dance us to the gas chambers. Now, of course not, because that's just too extreme. But it means like this. What you have to think is that we could turn our minds off. They found a way to shut the mind off in an airy-fairy way. We shut the mind off. That's how they dealt with it. We really have to watch ourselves, right? There's a lot of things that are from style, and it's mind-numbing, and it's distracting us, and it's taking us away from what we really have to do. And the Yetzer Hara, he's got no problem with that. We said he has no principles. You could feel frum. Feel frum as you want. If you're doing Avodah Zarah and you're not really thinking, and you're not really learning, you're feeling. You're not really doing real work. He's happy. Feel as frum as you want. Because it's all about feeling, right? The Christians are doing a better job than we are. And the Muslims are doing a better job than we are. If it's about giving euphoria. That's why there are millions of them, hundreds of millions of them, and just a couple million of us. Not even, us, Shomer Torah, they're doing a much better job in providing euphoria. That's why they're to have much higher membership. Right? But it's not about euphoria. It's about truth. Right? And that's what the Nevi'im said, I don't want the Karbonis. Shiftu yasu rivu amana. I want real justice. I don't want protexia. I want justice. I want real work. I want limud haTorah. I want real dveikus. Right? I don't need rituals. Right? And we want to make sure that we're not going to be here again next year. I'm sure, I know, all these Tisha B'Av programs. Right? They probably start playing the next one, as far as I know. Back in the older days, they used to put the kinas in Geniza after, whatever. The Ribono Shel Olam won't tolerate this galus anymore. Because people were, sickened, unaccepting of life in galus, unaccepting of a world without a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you think it's normal, Ribono Shel Olam says, that's normal, that's what you're going to stay with. Right? You want to turn your eyes and ears away from the truth, I'll close them for you. And then you won't see what's coming. It's Mida Keneged Mida. It's Mida Keneged Mida. It's time to wake up. You want to get out of Golis, it's time to wake up. There's an active war against the Ribono Shel Olam and against everything that's holy. What part are you going to take in it and account about? Gog is already coming to cut off HaKadosh, the whole world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take down our great patron in heaven. What are you doing? Right? It's time for countermeasures. Time to wake up. And if we don't, you'll be sure. Right? Mark my words. If we don't wake up, right, they're going to start putting Frumayid in concentration camps because we provoke people. We offend people with our kippahs and our tzitzis. We're the people, we're not going to, they're going to be there. Do you deny? Will you say that what's written in Leviticus is obsolete? You know? You'll be beaten. It's happening already. It's happening already. Right? And if it's not striking panic, it's because Kfar Nigzar Gzera and there's Silu Kadas. It's time to wake up. Rebosh should help. When you truly wake up, Ramchal writes in Das Tvunas, if only a certain critical amount of Jews would believe, you know, be real with the truth, Mashiach comes like that. It's not hard. It's not hard to bring the Beis Hamikdash back. It's not hard. Right. Truth is, you know, another thing, I think we said this last year, yeah. Milchemes HaYetzer is not hard either. You know that? It's not. No. I'll tell you, so listen to this. Chavos HaTalmidim brings a medrash. Says, a man without arms and without legs, right? Just with a big stick leaning against his shoulder, was sitting at the crossroads. Every person who came by and said, yeah, I've got a stick. You know, you don't give me your money, I'm going to hit you. And everyone's, man's got a stick, you don't argue with the guy. Right? Everyone just gave him their money. Right? So, Ad Shebo Pikeach Echad. Right? One Pikeach came and said, you know, he's got no arms and no legs. He took the stick and beat him up. And he says, Chazal says, that's the Yetzer Hara. He just barks. No, he tempts you. Yeah, but, you know, there isn't real strength, right? His strength is your lack of resistance. That's his strength. And he says, he writes over there, it's not good what the Mashgichim do in the yeshivas. He said, Yetzer is very serious. Oh, the Bochrim are going to be misyayish. Right? And he says over there, try an exercise. Next time you feel a taiva, just go stamp your foot and say no. He says, you'll see. Try, just do it. You know, taiva subsides immediately. So, no. Do we even stamp the foot? No. Your master is calling. You run, right? That's the problem, right? And a base measure means Vashem Lamelech Al Kol Haaretz. There's no two masters. So you have to conduct your own affairs that you have only one master. Yisrael's called a Tamar. Yisrael Yeshem Rak Lev Echad. Lavim Shabbat Shabbat. You have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in your heart, in your Kodesh HaKadoshim, like with a Nefesh HaChaim. That's when, a critical amount of Jews, that's where Baruch will be Master Shenosu B'Tzion, B'mher B'Tzion.